Well, this morning, this message time is going to be a little bit different than usual. This last week, we took 13 kids to camp whose lives will probably never be the same. And so I'm going to have them come and join me on the stage this morning. And so you guys can come make your way up, come sit down up here and get ready. Some of them are very nervous being in front of you this morning. I tell them I have to do it every single week. All right. Now, I intended to have them actually come up next week, and it was just going to be kind of a quick little moment where a few of them shared and we talked about camp. But we had some unexpected things happen at camp this year. There were some very scary things that could have ended very tragically, and it could have been a lot different Sunday than what this Sunday is going to be. But they didn't, thankfully. And this experience actually united us closer together as a group. And at the end of camp, we had some much more powerful times of worship, powerful times of prayer, powerful times together than I ever expected. In a minute, I'm going to let some of the youth share about how God impacted them last week. But before I do, I want to give you some context and warn you that it might get a little emotional up here this morning. But I felt like we were supposed to do this, and I trust in what God wants to do in this time. So let me explain a little of what happened. We hadn't had the best of weather and had continued to put off going to the beach. But there were a group of kids who really wanted to go, wanted to get into the water, wanted to get their feet wet. And so I would decide that I would take the ones that wanted to go and the others could stay at home. And so there were eight of us that piled up in the vehicle and headed to the beach. And we were playing in the water, boogie boarding, the same place we were last year. Fun place to do that. And out of nowhere came this huge tide swell. I was trying to stay dry. I was on the beach back at a distance, just taking pictures, keeping an eye on everybody, and was trying to stay far enough back from the water that I didn't get my feet wet or any part of me wet. But this swell began to come. And you know, we sometimes have those ones, you know, where it comes and you back up a little bit. But I kept backing up and I kept backing up, and it just kept coming. And all of our stuff was about 40, 50 feet back. And all of a sudden I realized it's not stopping. And I ran and I picked up our stuff, and we had shoes around. And I'm yelling, hey guys, help, help here. Cause we got, our stuff's going to get taken out to sea. And so we run and I'm picking the stuff up, and some of the kids are grabbing shoes that are being pulled out by the water. And we finally get it back and set down. And I look up and we still have three kids out in the water off to the left. And they're kind of moving closer to, we were in this big cove. And the water was coming up against the rocks on the side. And so I yelled, I said, go out and yell to them. Tell them to get away from the rocks, because that's what I was worried about. I was worried about them getting pushed in and smashed up against the rocks. And I'm yelling at them and whistling. And if you ever heard me whistle, I can whistle really loud. And I'm whistling. I'm like, get over to the center. Get away from the rocks. And it seemed like they weren't hearing me, that they weren't listening. And then we started to realize that they were trying, but that big swell of a wave had pulled them, and they'd got in this current that was pulling them towards the rocks. And at that moment, I knew that I had to get in the water, and I ripped off my shoes and I ripped off everything that I could. I threw my phone, I threw my keys, I threw everything behind, and I started heading out to the water. And on the way, thankfully, my daughter was there and had a boogie board, and I said, give me your boogie board. And I was going out because I just needed to get a hold of them and pull them in so that they could get to safety. And as I got out there and as the water was getting higher, I saw one of them climb up on the rocks on the side. But two of them, there was the rocks that came out, and two of them disappeared behind the rocks. And I'm hoping that they're going to pop up along the side. And I'm getting closer in what is shallow water when all of a sudden the ground beneath me just drops, and I get sucked into the waves and under and turned around and twisting, and I can't see anything, and I pop up, and all I'm doing is I'm looking for my two youth that I can't see. Their heads are not above water. I don't know where they are, and I keep looking and I keep searching, and the waves are bashing me and it keeps taking me farther out to sea. And I knew in that moment, I was just freaking out. I'm like, what do I do? I can't see them. I can't find them. I can't even fight these waves. It just continued to take me out. See, and there was a point where I'm like, am I ever going to come back? Because I just kept going farther. It felt like I was a mile out. I know I wasn't that far, but the water just kept taking me, and I'm holding and I'm fighting for my life just to try to get to these youth. And I realized at that point I just needed to focus on myself, and I just began to pray. And I just began to pray, God, they're in your hands. God, I give them to you. And so finally I got far enough out that I was able to kick to the center so that I could ride the waves back in. And as I got back in, a few of the youth came out to me, and I said, have you seen them? Have you seen where they're at? And they said, they're okay. They're in here. One of them was choking and spitting up water, had taken in a lot of water. But they're okay. They're okay. Well, we still had the one girl that was out on the rocks and no way to get in. And I thought if I get along the outside of the rocks, that it would be shallow enough that I could get to her and help her in. And so I'm trying to go around and I'm trying to get to her. And again, the ground pulled out from underneath me, and I get sucked under the waves and get around and swishing around. And at this time, I'm tired. And thankfully, I had put the boogie board thing around my wrist. I almost didn't. I was like, oh, I better put this on my wrist. The boogie board slipped out from me, and I was able to pull it back in, but I'm flipping around, and all I'm doing is praying. And at this point, I'm just like, okay, Lord, I need to call 911. I need to get her off the rocks. I just pray that everybody stays safe, and I'm trying to ride this out in the midst of being beaten in the waves. Finally, I work my way back in, and the hard part in this is both of the times that I got ripped out, the waves were so high and you can't see anything out there that the youth that were on the shore thought that I was gone. My daughter and some of the girls, they thought I was gone. And I thought maybe I was gone for a moment. But I made it back in, and we were able to call 911, and Coast Guard was on its way, but there was a surfer who knew the waves and knew things, and he went out and picked up our last person that was on the rocks and got her back into safety. I know she was a little sad because she could have maybe got a helicopter ride instead of a surfboard ride. But we got to safety. By the grace of God, when all was said and done, we were alive. And when we arrived back at the house, we didn't know how to do this, so I just called, and I didn't want to break down on the phone. And many of them were like, you can't tell them over the phone. We got to tell them face to face. And so we just said, hey, come down to the garage. And we had them come to the garage because we were all wet and full of sand, and we didn't want to traipse into the house. And they think we're bringing something good home. And they're excited, like, what? You know, they were talking, maybe they caught a baby deer. I don't know where that came from, but thought maybe we were bringing a baby deer back. And it's like, why would we bring a deer? But they were ready for something exciting. And as we came walking up, the tears and the crying and the emotion that came over everybody, and the way the group came around each other and just began to hug. And we grew closer through this time of tragedy. And so I wanted to let any of the youth that wanted to, I told them they didn't have to. Some were like, I kind of want to, I'm not sure, and they're nervous. But I wanted anyone that wanted to share to be able to share briefly how this week impacted their lives. Because as tragic and as difficult as this moment was, God actually used this moment to draw us closer to Him and to impact us in ways that we never expected, and that will probably change our lives forever. And like I said, it might get a little emotional. So please give them a little grace this morning as they share with us. And so I'm going to open it up, and I'm not sure who's going to be the first one to share with you this morning. I knew Josie. Josie's awesome. I really got to know Josie this weekend, and this is an amazing girl who loves Jesus. And so it's awesome.
Hola. So, you know, throughout the week, I never suspected to almost watch really important people die, but then watch God just save them. And throughout the week, it's just, I grew so close to everybody, and and I really feel like we are all just, golly, I really feel like family with everybody now, and it's just, it's so nice to feel like I can, I have, like, a second family that's always there, and just, like, such a big group of such amazing people that I can always connect with and have fun with and, like, learn about God with, and it's just, and throughout, like, everything that happened, it's just, I really learned to, act, like, fully trust God. And, because, you know, like, I was, like, as I was struggling in the water, just, like, I was trying to get my friend, you know, because one, you know, the person who went up on the rocks at first, I didn't know that she was on the rocks, and I couldn't find her, and I thought that she had gotten, like, got, like, dragged under, and I actually thought she died, so that was really, really scary.
It's okay.
And then I was just, but then, like, when I realized that she was on the rocks and I tried to go get my other friend, and I was really just trying to get over to him so I can give him my board, but the waves kept on pulling me away from him and kept on taking me under, and I thought that I was gonna lose him, and I was gonna, like, I thought I was gonna die, and that was really scary, but I just kept on thinking, like, I trust you, God, I trust you, and just watching him save everybody was one of,
golly,
it was such an amazing experience, and as bad as it sounds, I'm really glad it happened, because it really drew me closer to God and closer to everybody.
And one of the things in our conversation afterwards, as we were talking earlier that day, we talked about trust falling, like that with God, sometimes we just got to trust fall to God, that we just got to give him everything. And she talked about how in the waves, as she was getting flipped around, she just had to let go and trust God. And she said, I actually had to do the trust fall that we talked about earlier. And just the fact that she was able to do that, to trust in the Lord and let him bring her out of those waves. It was amazing. Who's next? Julia, you look like you're about to make your way up here. I'll let you just. I can see your feet kind of creeping.
Okay, so before I left for camp, I was kind of at, like, a rough patch with my relationship with the Lord. And I was just praying that at some point during camp, he would just show himself to me and he would reignite that fire and that passion for him. And so I was praying at camp on Monday and Tuesday. He would just show himself to me, but I hadn't really noticed anything from him. And so I was praying again on Wednesday morning during the devotionals, that because it was the last day of camp, that he would show himself to me in some way. And so I don't know why, but I was so persistent that I wanted to go to the beach. And so I was lucky enough to be on the shore when all of that happened. But through the midst of it, there were so many things that happened before and even during the beach that were such a sign that he was in control the entire time. And one of the main things for me was the night before, Jaren was sharing about how a while ago him and Stacey witnessed a pretty serious car accident and how they immediately both started to pray. And so that really stuck out to me that night, but I wasn't sure why. But then at the beach, as soon as we all understood what was happening, that thought just immediately popped back into my head, and I just told everybody, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. And throughout the entire thing, we're just praying and praying and praying. And I feel that that was it was all a miracle from God that everybody was okay. And I also feel that as scary as it was, that was his way of showing himself to me. And I really feel that through this whole experience, we all grew closer to God, but more important, we all grew closer to each other, but more importantly, we grew closer to God.
Thank you. Anybody else? Sean, I heard you wanted to share, and I'm sorry to call you out. People told me that you wanted to share.
Okay, so I haven't really prepared anything, so you have to bear with me. I'm so nervous. Okay, so for a long time now, I've really wanted to draw closer to God. I've really wanted a deep and close relationship with him, and I felt like I was in kind of a slump, so I was really excited for camp. So I kept praying and hoping that, like, God would show himself. God would show himself to me, you know. And like, oh boy. In the garage after they came back and told us what happened, you know, I was just sobbing and hugging people. Oh my goodness. And no, I was praying because, like, I was so thankful nothing bad happened. And, you know, I just prayed, God, I thank you so much. I am so thankful for you. I am yours. I am yours because what have you done for us? I am yours, and I want to be a light to others, showing him your love and what he does for people. And I just felt a calm, even though I was sobbing. I felt calm in a way, like he was there, like he was holding my hand. I'm good. I'm a star.
Anybody else? Toby.
So when I had gotten to camp, we had about a day and a half that we were there before that happened, and we had quite a few times where we went to worship. And whenever I was worshiping, there was something where, like, I didn't really, like, I was singing, and I felt like I was doing what worship was, but I didn't really feel like I was personally worshiping. And then this kind of whole just incident happened, and I was kind of very, like, kind of shook by it. And before, we had sang the song, I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, and It's All About You. And when we'd been singing that song, I was like, that's really what I want. I'm not really feeling the worship that's happening, and I want to come back to the heart of worship. And then this whole incident happened, and by the end of it, we were singing, and I started praying for just while we were worshiping, I started praying, and I kind of just started feeling that worship sensation as I was praying and thanking the Lord for everything that had happened. I'd kind of come back to that heart of worship, just praying for people while I'm worshiping and kind of getting that full understanding of what worship really was, and it felt really good to have that back.
Last call. Alex.
So I'm one of the leaders. I look 12, but I'm not. And this week has been crazy overall. I had like every night I got a really bad fever, and so I was like quarantined in my room. And the day, well, I cried a lot this week. Over a lot of things. I cry over everything. Darren makes me cry when he gets emotional up here. But the one day that everything had happened, I managed to not cry while people were telling me what had happened. And then I went out and just sobbed. And they said I probably cried more than everybody. Yeah. But my fever spiked really bad. And even though they were all stressed and emotional, they helped me up to my room. And they're like, do you want us to sit with you? Can we get you anything? And Julia's like, I'll get you drugs. I'll go get the good kind, yeah, the legal stuff. And it's just seeing all these guys, and especially the ones that have been here since I started coming, so Toby, Alyssa, Ben, and Sean was here shortly after. But just how much they've grown, they always inspire me. Even though I'm one of their leaders, they inspire me to grow more because they're so impressive. And I love them so much, and I'm glad they're all still here, and I'm glad I get to just learn so much more about them. And it's weird. I feel like they're my children, but also my siblings. It's a weird family we have. But I love them so much, and yeah, I'm going to stop before I cry.
Anybody? Okay, Emma.
So on the way home from camp, a song came on the radio, and it, in my opinion, it perfectly described what happened to us, and I sent it to a few of the people here, and they agreed, so we're just going to read the lyrics. It's called Scars by I Am They.
Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes.
Darkest water and deepest pain, I wouldn't trade it for anything, because my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use.
So I'm thankful for the scars, because without them, I wouldn't know your heart. And I know they'll always tell of who you are. So forever, I am thankful for the scars.
Now I'm standing in your confidence with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore.
Powerful words, is that not? And we don't like it when we go through these things, but God can use them for His glory. Amen. We thank this awesome group here as they head back to their seats. I love these kids. Sometimes I think maybe instead of praying for a youth pastor, we just need to pray for a senior pastor so I can go back to be youth. Well, as I was processing these last few days and seeking the Lord and how to kind of wrap up the service after our youth shared, the Lord led me to Acts 3. You can turn there in your Bibles if you have them this morning. Acts chapter 3. This section of Scripture just happened to be our devotional on our last day before we got ready to come back home. And this section of Scripture spoke to me in a way that it probably wouldn't have had we not experienced the experience that we just went through. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me as I'm going to read Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. This is what it says. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When we saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I love this story. It's one of those Bible stories I remember as a young kid, maybe from the song, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have you, right? You know, you remember that song? It's one of those stories I remember, and I was always blown away by this miracle to see this man who had been crippled his whole life to be able to stand up and not just stand up and walk, you know, feebly, to stand up and to jump and to leap and to praise God. But this Thursday, as I read through this scripture in the morning with our youth, I found myself focusing on something different. I found myself focusing on what Peter and John didn't have. In verse 6, Peter starts by saying to the man, silver or gold, I do not have, right? Because that's what he was asking for. He wanted money. He wanted money from them. He thought that's what would help them. And he said, silver or gold, I do not have. And think about this. How often is it that we don't have what people want? I know for me, I've had numerous times where people on the street have asked me for money. And I honestly don't have any. I rarely carry cash on me. And I'm always like, I'm sorry, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to give you. And the truth is, we live in a fallen, broken world. And oftentimes, we aren't going to have what people want. We aren't even going to have what people need in that moment. I know Wednesday afternoon, I didn't have what my youth needed. I ran out there with a boogie board thinking that I could save them, thinking that I could grab hold of them, that I could bring them back, that I had what I needed to save those kids, but I didn't. I, former Marine, proud macho man that I am, I didn't have what they needed. Peter in this scripture didn't have what the man needed. But if you continue in verse 6, Peter says, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." As I was getting whipped around in the waves, getting pulled out to sea, realizing I couldn't even see them, I didn't even know where they are, realizing that I couldn't save them, I began to give them what I did have. The ability to pray and to call out on the name of Jesus. I just started to pray. I just started to say, "Lord, get them in. Get them to shore." And this may sound weird to you, but I said, I even said, "Lord, I don't care if it's just a body you get to the shore, because I can lay hands on them and I know that you can bring them back to life." But I was just praying that Jesus, you would do the miracle, that you would get them in there, because I know that what, regardless of how they got to shore, that he could bring healing, that he could bring life back into them. And that's what I began to do. I began to pray. And there's no doubt in my mind that the reason we all came out of this okay was because all of us were giving God what we had. As we began to talk after everything calmed down, everyone talked about how they began to pray. You heard Julia share how she immediately just began to pray. "We need to pray, we need to pray." Sierra on the side, on the rocks, waiting. As she got up to the rocks and she watches her friends getting whipped into the sea, and then she sees me trying to go out to save and get sucked into the sea, she said all she'd started to do was just pray. "All I could do was just pray. Pray." The ones on the shore found themselves, I know when I finally got back to the shore and we were still waiting to get Sierra off the beach, I heard Julia keep saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus." None of us had what we thought we needed. But what we did have, we gave. We prayed. We gave our prayers and our trust to the Lord, the one who did have what we all needed. The ability to get us out of that tragic situation with a few minor scrapes and bruises. Honestly, it's an amazing story. And I'm so proud of our youth, because when they found themselves in a situation beyond their control, when they found themselves in a challenging and difficult situation, they turned to the only one who is always in control. They turned to Jesus and they sought his power and strength, because our power and strength wasn't getting us out of there. And maybe the question all of us need to ask ourselves this morning are these questions. Number one, who do we turn to in times of difficulty? When we're going through the ringer, when things aren't going the way that it should, who do we turn to? Do we try to do it in our own strength? Do we try to make it happen on our own? Who do we turn to in times of difficulty? And the other question is this: what do we give when we don't think we have what people are asking for? Because the answer to both of those questions should be Jesus. Jesus is the answer to both of those questions. And we have a youth group that demonstrated that for all of us. And I am so proud of every single one of them. The ones that were on the beach that day, and the ones that were back home when we arrived and just embraced those that had experienced what they experienced. And they just loved them and hugged them and cried with them. This sounds weird, but can we just applaud our youth this morning to say thank you for being examples? That morning before this, we had some amazing conversations. We did devotionals and we come together and, you know, I gave like 45 minutes to talk. We talked for an hour and a half. And one of the things that came up was about being brave. And I just want to say, thank you to our youth for being brave. Thank you for showing all of us what it looks like to walk in unity and to be Jesus to one another. And we can learn that from these youth. You've got some kids. And remember, don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young. Right? Exactly. We can learn so much from these youth and how they united together and how they sought the Lord in a very difficult time. And I hope that you are encouraged by that this morning. Before we leave, I want to do one last thing. It was interesting because earlier in the week, during a conversation, one of the mornings, I had actually shared about the name that God had given our youth group in Newburgh. Our youth group in Newburgh, when I left, we were called Generation Now. And I shared this with our youth because I was telling them, as we talked about being brave, as we talked about not letting people look down on you because you're young, I said, you know, the name of our youth was Generation Now because they weren't the generation of tomorrow. They were the generation of now. They were the generation of today. And I said, the same thing is true for you. You guys are not the generation of tomorrow. God isn't going to just work through you when you're older. God wants to work through you right now. And so we were talking about that. And for some reason, I talked about the fact that I'm not big on just having a name for namesake. The Lord had given us that name. It actually gave us that name at a high school camp about 10 years ago. And I told them, you know, I only want a name if it's a name that God has given us. Because if we just try to create a name, then it means nothing. I don't want our youth group to have a name if it's not the name that God has given us. And the three different youth groups that I had over the years, they all just started off as, you know, either the middle school youth group or the high school or the youth group, you know, of whatever church we were a part of. Newburgh, Foursquare Youth, you know. Here, Dallas, Foursquare Youth. But it was interesting because in each of those places where I was a youth pastor, God eventually gave names for each of those youth groups we were a part of, a name of who they were called to be, who God was wanting that youth group to be. And the night of this tragic event, we had taken some time right before worship to talk about it, to process a little bit, to pray. We talked about how as difficult as it was, that we know that God works all things together for good. And so the kids were talking about what happened, and we were just talking about how God was moving in and through this situation. And it was in that time that my son, Toby, actually shared this. He said, you know, even though it's not something we wanted to happen, it has actually united us even more. And if you couldn't tell by our shirts that we're wearing, that was the theme of camp. Our theme for camp was united. And when Toby said those words, I heard the Lord say, that is your name. And so before we left home, I shared this with the youth. And so I wanted to share with you today that our youth group is now officially united. that this is who we are. Dallas Foursquare United Youth Ministries, we have a name. God has given us a name, and we have seen God unite this group. And here's the amazing thing. Many of us never met Zipporah until she came to camp this week. And one of the coolest things that we even talked about was how Zipporah came, and it wasn't our youth group, and oh yeah, there's Zipporah, Sierra's friend. Immediately, Zipporah was a part of the group and is a part of the group. And we are united in a way that whoever walks in those doors is united with us and is a part of this group. And it's an amazing thing of what God is doing. And it's a beautiful name that God has given them through a difficult circumstance. But it shows us who they are and how we can learn from them. Because we as a church, we want to be united. We as a body of believers throughout the community of Dallas, we want to be united. We want to be people who come together for the good of God to see His kingdom extended. Amen. And so it's exciting to me that God gave them a name through a difficult situation, but how God worked in and through it to give them a name and to make them who He wants them to be. Let me pray. Lord, I thank You for this morning. Because I realize today could have been a lot different. This Sunday could have been a lot different Sunday. And we're so thankful, as Teacher Sheila actually shared, that we didn't have to drink from that cup today, Lord. That we got to drink from the cup of Your grace. Lord, that we got to drink from a cup that saw You save every single one of us. And we are so thankful for that, Lord. And Lord, as hard and as difficult as this situation was that we went through, Lord, we're thankful for what You've done through it. We're thankful for what it's done in all of our lives and the change, Lord, that will change us not just for a day, but will change us for an eternity. That we'll remember this week, that we'll remember what You did. We'll remember how You showed up. We'll remember the power of Your name. We'll remember the power of prayer and seeking You in times when we don't have what's needed, but You do. And so we thank You for this word, and we thank You for what You've done. And Lord, my prayer for our church is that in this, that we can see how amazing and how awesome it is when believers are united, when they're seeking You and seeking to live the life that You've called them to live. Because it's then that You can show up and do what You want to do in and through our lives, Lord. And so I pray that You allow those here this morning, as they've heard the testimonies, as they've heard these words that our youth have shared, that they would be encouraged by this word. That we would be people that, Lord, in the midst of difficulties and challenges, that You're the first person we turn to. That we call out upon Your name, and that when we don't think we have what people need, that Lord, we would give them You. Silver and gold, we don't have any. But what I do have is this amazing God, this amazing Savior, Jesus. He is the answer to all my problems, and He can be the answer to all of yours. And so we thank You, Lord, for what You did this week. We thank You for what You're continuing to do in our youth and even in our church, Lord. And so we give You this morning, we give You these things, and we pray them in Your precious name. Amen.